Looking to transform your family game nights? At Perfectly Picked Games, we specialize in family games that bring everyone closer. Our games aren't just fun. Kids and teens will learn how to take turns, develop basic strategy skills, and understand the thrill of winning and grace of losing. With our exclusive gift of games, you can give months of gaming excitement to your family. Choose a 3-month or 6-month gift, and we'll deliver hand-picked family games to your doorstep every month. And here's the best part. Right now, you can use the promo code GOLDENMOJO and receive 20% off your selected plan. Don't miss out on this exclusive offer. Use promo code GOLDENMOJO and save 20% today at Perfectly Picked Games.
To jump into the Wayback Machine and go back to the 80s. I am your host, Golden Jay, and with me, as always, Frankie Vegas.
Hey.
And we are here to take you back. Back to one of the greatest decades ever. So, Billy, don't you lose my number.
Yeah. I'm going to take you home.
Take
me home. I don't remember.
Oh, man. What's been going on, buddy?
Not a lot. You know, just since the last time we recorded, I got my Blink 182 tickets.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I had to sell my soul to the devil for that.
But
I won that one, though.
Which devil were you selling your soul to?
My wife told me if I finish my vape, I can go to any concert I want.
Uh-huh.
Now, see, what she didn't know is I was planning on doing with quitting them anyway.
Uh-huh.
Well, she thought when she said that, I wasn't going to pick Brett Michaels and going to be back in Indy for the Party Gras.
Yeah. Summerpalooza.
Yeah. So she thought, yeah, I was going to pick that because I love Brett Michaels, uh-huh. which we all know.
Absolutely.
And I really did want to go to that, and I still might. You know, spend my $25 and go see Dee Snider with Brett Michaels, and that would be awesome.
There you go.
But she said, any concert. And I go, any concert, huh? And she goes, yeah. I go, okay, I'm going to Blink. And she kind of
dropped it.
Yeah, I'm going to spend $100 instead of $25. Thank.
Only $100?
Yeah. I mean, I got the cheap seats.
You're on the lawn? No, wait. This isn't at Ruoff.
Yeah,
is at the old Conseco or
The Ruoff or whatever. Or
not Ruoff.
Deer Creek. Yeah.
That's right.
But yeah, where the Pacers play.
Yeah, whatever
Pacers,
it is. Yeah. It was Conseco Fieldhouse. Yeah. It is now some bucked up name. I don't even know.
But we're kind of behind the stage a little bit, kind of off to the side behind.
Uh-huh.
So it didn't say it was a
restricted view.
But, you
or
know,
something.
It's still, it's not, you know, you're not front and center. But right. You know what? I'm good with that, you know.
You're going to be there to enjoy the music. The stage show is actually, if it's the same one that we saw, the stage show is actually really good. So hopefully you get to see a majority of it.
Yeah, I have to bring up the stage setup.
Right.
And let you see that.
Oh, man.
But, you know, and then Pierce the Veil or whatever for them. And I know who they are, but... And I've listened to a little bit of them. I mean, not really my style, but I'm still up for it, you know.
We saw a Beauty School Dropout, and I can't remember the name of the other band because they were absolutely horrible. Beauty School Dropout wasn't terrible as an opening act, but it was like the mix wasn't right. It was like really heavy bass drum and bass guitar, and I couldn't really make out the vocals, which... Vocals and guitar are really important to me as a singer and guitar player. And so I was like, eh. And then, you know, ran the other one and was like, they started off really good and then they just kind of crashed out as far as I was concerned. obviously I'm there to see Blink, so you know, you kind of work your way through some of these opening acts. But Gunner really got on the Beauty School Dropout kick after we were at the show, and going back and listening to like the Spotify of those guys, it made a world of difference. You know, it really, I was like, man, I wish I would have enjoyed the sound a little bit better to enjoy them. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, what are you going to do? So, yeah, we did, that's what we did there. So I've never heard, I've never listened to Pierce the Veil. I may have to go check them out, because Blink does really good job about finding groups in their genre to open up for them. You know, it's not just a random crapshoot. So it's kind of like that, kind of the same thing. But so, yeah, congratulations on getting to go see Blink. First time seeing Blink.
Yeah, first time. That's why I picked them over Brett Michaels. Yeah. I was like, okay, I've seen Brett Michaels a lot. Although I would love to go see Dee Snider, who's going to be with them.
Right.
But if the opportunity's there, I'm going to take it to go see Blink.
Got to do it. Got to do it.
Absolutely.
Well, that's awesome, man. I'm glad you're going. Yeah. It's life-changing. It really, truly is. Blink-182 is life-changing when you see them in concert. If you like them before, you're going to fucking love them when you walk away.
I mean, I may only see the back of Mark Hoppus's head, but, you know.
It's all good. It's all good. Look at his ass all night. You might have a great shot at Travis Barker. That right there might be worth the whole admission right there just to watch him all night. Dude, that guy is crazy. That guy is insane. I love what he did with the newest Blink album. He did all the recording and producing of that album. He did an amazing job. And yeah, just wow. Really. And his drumming, I think, on this new album is just some of the best drumming I've ever heard him do. I mean, he's insane, man.
Now, is there any chance you might go down to that show?
Go to the Blink show?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. I mean, we saw him in Chicago, and it was a lot of money. And I don't know that that I can pony up at this point. Everything I got is kind of, everything I got right now is focused back into Golden Mojo. And so I've been trying not to do some of the oddball things that I'm so used to doing. So I don't know yet. When is it exactly?
But while I'm looking at that, what's been going on in Jeremy's life?
Well, as I talk about, you know, not spending money on those kind of things, we just set our vacation for mid-August. We're going to be heading back down to see Bobby's sister, and we're going to take a little side trip down to New Orleans, baby.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, going down to New Orleans. So I'm excited about that. So, yeah, I also got to save some money back for that road trip.
Real quick, Blink 82, Gainbridge Fieldhouse.
Gainbridge.
Yes. August 2nd. That's a Friday.
Oh, shit. So, like, yeah, I mean, right, getting ready to do my vacation, right, as they're going to be down there. Oh, man. Yeah, you're going to have a blast, dude. Who's going with you?
My daughter and my son-in-law.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a big Blink fan, so.
You see, you paid for the tickets.
Yeah.
Make sure you take about a hundo with you to get yourself some merch.
Yeah, I definitely got to get the merch.
Got to get the merch. And I'll bet you Colton's going to want you to pick up some more merch for him.
Nah.
He's still, oh.
He pick up his own.
You got to go get your own.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Wait, there's the stage set up.
Right on. I'm going to take a peek at this real quick. And wait, holy shit, where are you at?
I'm toward the back, toward the corner on, I think it would be the right side.
Okay.
Be my right.
All right. Well, they can't give you a completely obstructed view, so, but yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. You have to send me some pictures to where.
I'll go stand in the aisle if I have to.
There you go. Just move over, security guy. Yeah. I got to get me some pics. Watch the show.
Yeah. I imagine it'll be sold out, so I won't be able to find a seat closer.
I know, right? You're going to sneak a seat?
Yeah. But I don't see that happening here. So
they're gonna kill it, man. You're gonna love every minute of it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because it's funny because, you know, I don't know how much Blink you listen to, but I listened to a ton of it.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of out of it a little ways because, you know, they kind of broke up and, yeah. you know, listened to them, you know, periodically. And then when I was at the show, there was maybe two songs whole night that I wasn't 100% sure of. Everything else I knew, singing along. Yeah. It was amazing. So much fun.
Yeah, I don't know how much I know that's actually. I mean, there might be several songs that are them that I didn't realize right. were theirs, you know. And I've done that before. I'm like, oh, that, they, uh-huh. oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. It's insanely crazy. But yeah. Other than the New Orleans, Louisiana trip, I mean, just. Getting ready to set up. Whether let's see, I don't know when this episode will come out, but the Patreon for the United States Paranormal is out, or it's gonna just be out, or it's gonna be right in that vicinity. But yeah, so we're looking. I'm gearing up for that. Got as part of the tiers, I have new Tusop posters that just came in today. So we're going to sit down and do an autograph session where all three of us are going to autograph those. I am planning on taking some with me down to Louisiana because I will see Logan while I'm down there. I'll have him sign some while we're there too so that those can go out. But, yeah, other than that, man, we're just gearing up for that and, you know, trying to get this Murderers thing going. I'm trying to get my mind wrapped around that. Exactly how I want to do it. I want to make sure that the Murderers fans are happy with what I'm doing compared to, you know, what the girls had done. And, you know, I don't want to throw anybody off by having something that they not enjoying. So that's pretty much it, man. I've been, yeah. been pretty busy with all that goodies.
Sounds like a busy, busy time.
It is. It is. And I'm trying to make sure I free up time to spend with my wife, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Go do things. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You got to do that.
She'll get grumpy.
Oh, yeah.
I can't just spend my time with her podcasting.
No. No, that's not a recipe for a happy marriage.
No. I did go up to Chico's place last weekend, helped him... put together some patio furniture and stuff, and we checked out that Lady Aspera.
Okay, I listed that on
Golden Image. Yeah. Cambodian and Vietnamese food. It was absolutely amazing.
It sounds spicy to me. I don't know, and I don't do spicy.
I don't really do spicy either. And let me tell you, when I first started getting into mine, the stuff they put across the top was spicy. But by the time I got into the bulk of it, all that spice was gone, so it wasn't like crazy spicy.
Yeah.
But damn, it was so good, dude. Oh, so yeah. I'm hoping to go check out that Flippin' Cow here soon.
Flippin' Cow, what is that?
It is a burger joint that just came into Elkhart. I don't know how long they've been here. But our friend John Lyons, do you know John?
I don't think so,
That's all right. He is a big advocate for it. He's like, Golden Jay, you need... Well, he calls me the golden boy. Golden Boy, you need to get your ass up there. we did an interview with him on Golden Image early on. He came in and sat in with us on an early Golden Image podcast. So,
okay.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was an interesting show. So,
go check it out.
Go check out the Flippin' Cow. It's up in Elkhart.
The Flippin' Cow.
But I think she's got other ideas of where she wants to eat lunch. So, we will just go with that.
All right.
And I will get to the Flippin' Cow another day.
So do we want to do a Uncle Frankie Corner?
Let's do some Uncle Frankie's Corner.
Uncle Frankie Corner. I want to give you people one thing. As I deliver pizza, I'm going to give you some etiquette.
Oh, okay.
Okay. When I deliver you a pizza and you know the pizza's coming answer your damn door. And then when you do, say, oh, I didn't think you'd be here this quick. Well, you knew I was coming. You should have been prepared anyway.
Right, right.
Well, they told me it was going to be like 45 minutes to an hour. Yeah, they're going to tell you it's going to be longer in case it is longer.
Right.
Don't, that's a little secret to let you guys know. Expect me anytime.
I'm coming.
Yeah. So be ready so I'm not sitting out there in the freezing cold, pounding on your door, calling your phone. Cause that's irritating. You know, I am more than happy to bring your food to you. I got no problem with that. Enjoy doing it. But work with me. And if you're going to pay with a $100 bill,
oh,
and you only ordered $15 worth of food, let me know that before I leave. When you order, say, hey, I'm going to be paying with a $100 bill. Because I only carry so much change with me.
What do you do in that? What do you do?
There have been times where I've had to run back to the store to get change. I've had to take it out of my own pocket to make change.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, now if your bill is near that, yeah, that's fine. You know, pay with what you got. But if you're only, you know, I'm taking you some breadsticks and a salad and you pay me with a $100 or $50 bill. Yeah, and especially if it's on like one of my first deliveries, I've only got $15 on me for change. So I can't meet your change expectations.
So if you have to go back to the pizza store to get change, do you charge them a fee for that? Or should you charge them a fee?
I never have. I don't let them have their food.
Oh, you take the food back with you?
I take it with me. They ain't going to get it and then try to, you know.
Oh, so you're not taking their money and going back and making change.
I mean, I'll do that if they want me to, they trust me to do that. But, you know, if they just want me to go back and get the change, well, I'm not going to leave their food with them if I don't have the money.
Right. See, I thought that they were giving you a $100 bill. And I was like, well, I don't have change. I'll be back. Because that's what I would do. I'm like, yeah, listen, just give me the money. Here's your food. I'll be back with your change in a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that. The easiest way to do it. But
well, yeah, because now you're wasting your time and wasting other customers' time on their deliveries because you've got to go back and make fucking change for them to do that. So,
But, you know, but I try to be nice about it, you know. I'm not really, I am. I'm nice. I'm very pleasant with the customers I get in my car.
I can't imagine Frankie by getting irate with a customer like, you motherfucker, why don't you goddamn go back into your fucking change purse and give me a goddamn 20 and then just give me the tip, what's left over. You fucking piece of shit.
Well, that's what I'm thinking in my head. I mean, and if I got another one. If you're going to leave me a tip and you're, like I said, a salad and breadsticks, and you leave a 3% tip on that and it's only like 80 cents, don't bother. That's more of a pain in the ass for me to figure out than. I mean, I appreciate it that you're at least thinking about giving me a tip like that. But I mean, if that's all you can afford,
You can keep it.
I'm good.
Listen, man, nothing used to piss me off more than when I was bartending and the tips were like fucking just horrific. They were just like, honest to God, there was one gentleman that came in like three times a week and he would just come up to the bar and he would drink, I think he'd drink Coors Light. And it was like, I don't know, like two, it was like $1.50 or $2.50. I don't remember exactly what the price was. It wasn't like super expensive, but he always paid me in cash and always put the change on the thing on the counter, you know? So if it was, let's say $1.50, then he'd always have 50 cents there, or maybe it was $1.75. It was always a quarter.
I didn't even get
the quarter tip. He would just pick it up and put it back in his pocket. He would sit there on my fucking bar on my stool for 2 or 3 hours, and he would have two, three, four beers, never tipped once.
Oh yeah, and it's like I said, once again, I appreciate anybody giving me a tip, and I'm not at all saying I don't, but. Like, you know, somebody will have an order for $24.80 and they'll give me $25. Oh, you go ahead and keep the change. Oh, well, bless your heart.
I can finally get that stick of gum that I've been wanting.
And I'm like, you know, okay, I appreciate it. But, you know,
It sucks. I said, you're in that and you're, I don't know what your hourly is, but I know that the waitresses that worked up there, you know, their hourly wage was minimal. I mean, $2-3 an hour. They lived off their tips. You know, that was what they got, and they had to, you know, they were paying the I don't even know the taxes on their cash, and it was, you know, it was really weird how it was all set up. And I know that it's the way it's supposed to be because you know, but. They were also paying me a certain percentage, the bartender, a certain percentage of their tips for the night too, which, you know, wasn't very much. I mean, I'm not saying that. So, you know, the tips that these people that, you know, tips, you know, minimal is, you know, doesn't really go that far for what they're doing. And they're, you know, they're constantly moving. This is for any waitress or bartender or pizza delivery guy, tip them. They're bringing you your food. And guess what? More than likely, they didn't spit in it or drop it or anything like that. So be nice about, you know, giving a tip for these guys. So
yeah, I can't say how much I make hourly because I'm not supposed to because I'm.
You don't have to tell us how much.
I'll just say that with my tips, when everything's going good, I average out to about $18 an hour. And delivering pizza for that's not a bad gig.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I wasn't plugging for you to get your hourly.
Well, there's a reason that I'm not allowed to say, but I'll tell you off the air.
Oh, okay. See, I get the inside scoop, ladies and gentlemen.
But yeah, you know, that's just my tips. You know, when you're ordering pizza, you know, think ahead, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Dude, you know, I saved up all my tips and stuff, and I paid for plane tickets to Texas one year when we went down there for, I had enough in tips that I could pay for both of them. Now, my sister-in-law, because I was going down to officiate my niece's wedding, she wouldn't let me pay for my own ticket. So she's like, you're doing us a big favor by coming to do this. I was like, I do this no matter what.
Well, you
were
going to go anyway, right?
I absolutely was going to be there no matter what. So. But yeah, I kind of forced her to take at least Bobby's plane ticket money. Yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of love there and I really did appreciate it because it did, you know, set, you know, a few $100 back in my account. But I mean, it's not cheap to fly anywhere. That's
no,
for damn
not.
Sure. But
it's bad.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, do we have a question of the pod?
80s edition. Absolutely.
We probably ought to get to that before we get to
our
story.
We better get going. Better get going. Okay. Back in the 80s, little kid, you know, we loved to go out to eat. Is there a restaurant that was open in the 80s that's no longer open now that you would love to go back to?
One more time. I want to go back and eat at a Burger Chef.
Absolutely. You did it again.
I wish we'd talk about these things before we get it. Dang.
It's more fun to be spontaneous.
I don't know what it was about Burger Chef that I was it just because we were kids and that was the burger joint or?
Well, I think it's because they had, you know, what was called fun meals.
Uh-huh.
And I think they had those before there were happy meals at McDonald's.
Gotcha.
So that's why kids always wanted to go there.
My
preschool field trip went to Burger Chef.
Really?
In North Manchester, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
We used to do the one that was in Plymouth.
Yeah.
Which turned into Shoops, which I'm not even sure what it is now.
Yeah. Well, I know most of the Burger Chef turned into Hardee's.
Right.
You know.
Gotcha. I'm trying to think. No, I don't think that. I think that one turned into a Shoops, and I think they used the actual building, unlike the one that they put in Warsaw that was kind of like, looked like an old railroad car or whatever, but you know what I'm saying? But I always enjoyed Shoops, but there was just something about that burger. I remember there was something about that burger that was just so good. And like I said, once again, I was a kid, and that was the excitement of going to Burger Chef, and I don't know if that was part of it or not, but yeah. I'd like to do it one more time just to see what the hell my little brain was thinking at the time.
Well, I'll tell you kind of similar to that story about one more time. Because I was born in California, and we would go back there periodically to visit. And me and my mom, and in California, we went to a Jack in the Box.
Uh-huh.
Okay, there's none around here.
Right.
And I remember getting a hamburger there, and I really liked it. Well, a few years ago in Vegas, there was one. So I went to, I haven't been to a Jack in the Box since I was a kid. Yeah, it wasn't as good as I remembered. I was like, eh.
It's funny how that works out, isn't it? Yeah, the good old. Who remembers Burger Chef?
I do.
The Golden Image 80s at gmail.com. Unless we got a new email.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Did we get a new email address?
Oh, no. I was seeing a few messages back
there. After listening to today's episode, you thought that he would get a hold of us right away.
No emails.
All right, fair enough. Well, Frankie, you ready to get into today's topic?
I think so, yeah.
Are you sure?
I think so.
All right. This third solo album by an English drummer and singer-songwriter was released February 18th, 1985.
My wife's birthday.
Really?
February 18th.
February is a damn good month for birthdays. it was released by Virgin Records in the UK and Atlantic internationally. Yeah. Let's just get to it.
Need a jacket?
No. No jacket required. Okay. That's right. Phil Collins. No jacket required. Let's go, baby. Let's go. What do you think, Frankie?
Honestly, not my favorite album.
No?
I mean, I love Phil Collins, and he does some great stuff on here. But as a whole, I just couldn't get into it. I tried. I mean, there's a few songs that I absolutely love on the album.
Uh-huh.
And some of them are just like, there's a reason they weren't released, you know.
Well, let's talk about this real quick. He was out on tour with Genesis and working with Eric Clapton in 84. Collins then resumed his solo career and he started actually working on his new album. So this is actually his third solo album.
Yeah.
Which... I got mind boggled by this because, so I listened to this because I haven't listened to it in years.
Yeah.
And of course the first song that comes up is Studio, which I'm like, fuck yeah, man. Oh yeah. I remember this one. This was a good one. Mm-hmm. And I'm singing along, having a good old time. And then we got into a few songs that I'm like, oh. And then, you know, there's a couple other songs, and we'll talk about these a little bit more. And then it went back to Studio. And I'm like, did I go through the whole album? And I'm leaping through, and I'm like, where the hell is In the Air Tonight?
Wrong album, man.
Wrong album. I'm like, shit. But once again, I'm listening to this, and I knew some of these songs that weren't, like, super popular. So we're going to talk about the big hit ones. I'm listening and I'm like, did I own this? I don't remember if I owned this album.
I did not.
I just find it hard to believe that I didn't, and I knew all, you know, these songs. I mean, Studio was one of those songs that, you know, we played a lot.
I owned a single of one of the songs, but I did never buy the whole album.
Never bought the whole album. It's insane. So, yeah, Phil Collins, if you don't know, was with Genesis. It's a big, long story about about him being the drummer with Peter Gabriel as the lead singer, and them actually getting Phil to be the lead singer Genesis for you know, what turned out to be an amazing career for him in Genesis also mm-hmm. as a lead singer. But No Jacket Required, it received the majority of the critics. You know, they kind of liked it. It was very commercially successful. It reached, number one in UK for 5 consecutive weeks, and for 7 non-consecutive weeks, it reached number one in the U.S. And I think that has to do with the fact that they released these songs kind of broken apart, you know. I'm not sure. What did it say what the first release was? Was it Studio?
I was thinking that. I think that's right. Yes. That it was Studio.
It was Studio. I was trying to remember which one came out first. So.
Yeah.
Well, let's just dive into these songs. Let's talk about it. I do want to talk about a couple of these songs that many people don't know. So,
okay. Whatever you want to talk about.
Man. Whatever I want to talk about.
Whatever you want to talk about.
All right. Well, No Jacket Required. Phil Collins' first track. We've been talking about it. It's Studio. I don't know, man. There's just something about this song. You sing along with it. You just, you know, Studio. Frankie is just not into it with me tonight.
Yeah, I don't. I have always tried to figure out where he came up with that name.
Oh, I don't know.
Studio.
Why don't you give him a call and let's find out.
Hey, Phil.
Track number 2, obviously, is called Only You Know I Know.
Yeah.
Yeah, which not released. Really not even, you know, just it. Number 3, long way to go, which once again not a commercial success. Number 4, go ahead.
It was an all right song. I mean, I nothing bad. It's a little, I don't know, that's the one. I think it was really slow. I mean, if I remember correctly,
besides Studio, everything on this album to me was almost like a power ballad.
Yeah.
Everything was real synth out. I mean, this is the mid-80s. I get it. Everything was synth out, and everything was, you know, from my understanding, he wrote a lot of this album after a divorce, right? Is that what you... Yeah. So a lot of it has to do with, you know, kind of that emotions of going through a divorce, and then you're writing songs, and these are what the... I know that long way to go is definitely about his divorce and you know, trying to, you know, get over it and heal and all that stuff. But
that's a pretty common thing when writing. I mean, you've wrote albums. I mean, you kind of write it on what you're feeling at the time.
You know, that's the sad part. Most of these people write these great songs that have something to do with some sort of emotional damage to their life, and they write these amazing songs. Gwen Stefani with Don't Speak,
yeah,
you know, was written about the breakup with her and the bass player of the band, you know, and I could probably name a dozen more that are like that. But my problem was I never had bad shit happen, like really bad shit happen in my life. So yeah, writing songs was like, oh, I got to start making shit up in my head. Like, you know, I fucking lost a foot in a gardening accident, and I'm just hobbling around. I don't know. That's, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it was like,
yeah.
It's,
I get it.
You know, having a rough life and going through a lot of rough times as a singer-songwriter is great because you have stuff to feed off of, and that's, you know, kind of what happened here with Phil Collins. But
yeah,
I'm assuming that track number 5, One More Night, was probably also based around that divorce. But
mm-hmm.
once again, a power ballad song Great song. I love this song. Yeah, I mean, it's just something about it that, that, you know, you can sing along with it, you know?
One more.
Aw, Frankie's got dreamy eyes on right now as he's singing. number six, Billy. Billy, don't you lose my number. Actually, it's just called Don't Lose My Number. I always thought this was called Billy.
Billy, don't. Yeah. I did too.
Once again, a singable song, man. You can definitely sing along to most all the lyrics of the song.
Yep.
Because you've heard it so many times. But
good song, good song.
It is. Solid. It is a very good song. Number seven, Who Said I Would? Now, that one was released.
Bobby.
Huh?
Who said I would? I said Bobby said you would.
Bobby said I would, and she meant it, or else I'm in trouble. I don't see released in... It was released in... Okay, this song was released in 1991 as a single from his live album, Serious Hits Live. So it wasn't even released in 85. It wasn't until 91 that this one was released in.
So like in Japan or something, you know?
Yeah, U.S. and Japan. Come on, you know, the U.S. gets a little fill, man. Come on, get your fill. Get your fill.
USA, USA.
That's right. Number eight, Doesn't Anybody Stay Together Anymore?
Sure. I honestly don't think I can't remember this song. Because when I did my re-listen, I was just going really fast through it.
Really?
Except for a couple of the songs.
And you kind of got stuck with. Number nine, Inside Out, was not released, but I remember this song. And I was singing along with it when I was listening back. It's like, oh, man, I remember this song, but I don't ever remember it being, you know, on the radio. But I know it. Which is what got my brain thinking, did I own this album? Did I listen to this album a lot? I don't remember. I don't remember if I owned the cassette, because it had to have been on cassette.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been out on album, but...
I'm trying to think if I actually owned it on CD later on in life, you know?
I've never owned it at all.
You should have bought it.
Should have, no.
You should have bought it. And number 10, probably one of the best songs on the album.
Absolutely. The single. I had the single. I did buy the single.
It is Take Me Home. And once again, I mean, like I said, Billy Don't Lose My Number and Studio, probably the two upbeat songs on this album. Everything else was power ballad, synth out, it didn't sound bad. I mean, it sounded good. I enjoyed it. But it was like, okay, I feel like I'm kind of listening to the same song over again. But you get those. You get Studio, One More Night, Don't Lose My Number, and Take Me Home. And damn, man, you got you got some good songs on this album.
Yeah, Take Me Home, from what I read, but basically the song version of the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Really?
Yeah, because it's supposed to be about being in a mental institution.
Oh. Yeah. You know, they say that Harry Potter was actually in a mental institution and everything was made up.
Probably was. Yeah. But yeah, I can. Yeah. Maybe that's why I relate to that song, because I belong in a mental institution.
It's a good possibility. It's a good possibility that could be it.
Golden Mojo Institution of the Insanity. I don't know.
Yes. Yes. Well, welcome aboard, because we're all insane here. And we like it. But yeah, once we hit Take Me Home and it flipped back up to the number one song in studio, I was like, seriously, I got the wrong album. There is no In the Air Tonight on this album.
Well, did he have that on an album, or that just on?
Yeah, it was on
the Miami Vice soundtrack.
The Face. What's the name of the Face album?
Yeah.
No Faces.
Okay.
It was on the No Faces album, which actually came out in 1981. You know.
Okay.
But yeah, it was actually on the Miami Vice soundtrack also. I did look that up. I did look it up, Frankie.
Oh, no. I had no doubt about that.
When I listened to this thing back, which, you know, I've done recently because we're doing this pod, I'm listening to it from a producer's ear, and I'm like, you know, the songwriting style and the vocal style that he put out on all of these really slow power ballads was a lot like something that I would do, and the way that he would take his notes and, you know, go up on this particular note or the drop down or almost sometimes like a monotone and then up. And I'm like listening to it. It's like, yeah, I would have wrote that song the exact same way. Had I had this music, I would have sang the song, I guess I'd say the exact same way, if I had this music and these lyrics. I just thought that was interesting. Yeah. And that thought process for me was like, oh man, this is how I would have done it.
See, I guess I don't remember exactly, but I thought I had always heard, maybe it was a different album or a different song or something, that Phil Collins played like every instrument. And with looking at that, he did play a lot of different instruments on the album. Uh-huh. It's almost like he can easily write a song just because of everything he can play and do.
Right.
You know, he can go, okay, let me see how this sounds on the drums. Okay, let me go over here and play guitar. Let me, you know, and it's like an amazing musician. I mean, but I don't see where he played like every instrument on every song.
Right.
But I thought somebody had told me that, or I had heard that somewhere. I mean, maybe it was on something different. I don't.
I think that's kind of always been in the back of our brains on with Phil Collins, is that he was kind of the guy that did it all. But I'm looking at this, what we had, David Frank played keys, Nick Smith played keys, Daryl Summer played guitar. I'll tell you what, though, I mean, there's a whole list of the horn section is you know, unbelievable. But looking at this list, there's two names that really stick out. Do you see them? Did they pop for you?
Are we talking down toward the bottom there?
We are talking down toward the bottom.
Are we talking about Sting and Peter Gabriel?
Peter Gabriel and Sting. Now, I don't want to be wrong here, but Peter Gabriel was the lead singer for Genesis, correct?
Yes.
And now he's helping the new lead singer. Yeah. his solo album.
It ain't like they kicked him out of the group. He left on his own to do his own thing, you know. Yeah.
It's very true. But
you know, they're trying to find new lead singers.
I thought that there was a lot of bad blood between them, though.
I don't know. And it's not like, Phil Collins, it's not like he tried to become the lead singer. He was trying to show people how to sing the damn song. And they said, why don't you just do it?
Yeah, well, you already know the songs. You can already sing. Why don't you just do it?
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm the drummer.
I'm the drummer.
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting to see that Peter Gabriel was come in and did track. What is it? Is it track 10?
Yes. Yes.
Which would be Take Me Home. He did the background vocals for that. Oh, and Sting was on track 3 and 10, which was Who Said I Would and Take Me Home. So I just thought it was awesome that they worked together on that, and I just thought it was something that, you know, needed to be noted.
Oh. Yeah, I always like seeing, you know, like big time musicians working together, you know, and collaborating on stuff, because you're kind of getting the best of both worlds. You know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, if you were a Genesis fan and a Police fan, you know, you just got
But you know, to be 100% honest, I never knew that Sting and Peter Gabriel sang on this. It wasn't something that was thrown out there. It wasn't really overly publicized. It was just like...
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't like when, what was his name, Rockwell or whatever, had Michael Jackson doing backup on Somebody Watching Me. Because I think everybody thought that was a Michael Jackson song. I don't think one person thought it was Rockwell.
Still a good song, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. It's I think that it's more of an Easter egg, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, did you know Sting and Peter were on this song? What? No. You know, no. And that may be something you read in freaking Hit Parade magazine or, you know, something along that. Damn. You haven't thought about that in a while.
I haven't thought about that.
Hit Parader.
Yeah.
Would Phil Collins have made Hit Parader, or would that been, was that more of a metal magazine? I'm trying to think.
Well, he was such a respected drummer. He may have.
Right.
I mean, regardless of what his genre was.
I can see that.
Because he's always, I mean, when people talk about drummers, you know, his name gets mentioned, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
not as.
He's, yeah, not a Joey Jorgensen or a Tommy Aldridge or a,
yeah.
Dave Grohl.
Tommy Lee. Even though Tommy Lee, great, and everybody loves Tommy, but he's not that good.
He's not that good of a drummer. He can hold his own.
Yeah.
He can hold his own. But when you put him in the marching band, he sucks balls. Mm-hmm.
And Tommy, if you're listening, please come on here, do some drumming for us.
Yeah, no, he came out and rip our ass for just fucking calling him not a very good drummer. I can see it now. It's like, I heard your fucking podcast. I'm like, I love you, Tommy Lee. I have a lot of respect for
Tommy.
Yeah,
I seen your movie, man.
Yep. Oh, was it a comedy? Because you had a hell of a stick.
I wonder how many people even know what the hell we're talking
about.
I don't know.
I'm sure all of them, because it was pretty. It was a pretty popular piece of cinematography. So
yes, it was.
Absolutely. But anyway, was that in the 80s too?
No.
That was in the 90s?
It might have been more 2000s.
Oh, damn. Okay, fair enough. I don't know. We won't cover it on this show.
Love you, Tommy. Love you, Pammy.
There you go. But yeah, you know, I don't know that he's on the tip of everybody's tongue as far as a great drummer.
No. Nah.
Phil Collins, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though he does a pretty amazing job, so. And if you really watch him, he was singing some of the leads on these songs while playing drums.
Yes.
So.
And that is, I don't know how people do that. You know, I think about John Finken. Uh-huh. You know, hell of a vocalist, hell of a drummer. How the hell does he do it?
It's really. I used to do it.
Did you do
it
too?
I used to do it.
Okay.
I used to. I'm over here toot my own horn, people. So.
Well, no, I mean, I got mad respect for that, because I didn't don't know how you can be going on the drums and.
It's a rhythm thing. It really truly is a rhythm thing. If you're into your zone and you know what your words are. I don't know that I could have, like, read words and played at the same time where you're trying to concentrate on two different things. But if you're drumming and you know the song really well, you can kind of focus in and just do your thing. And yeah, I didn't do this would have been mid-90s, early 90s, somewhere in there when mm-hmm. I was drumming and for the band Aztec and Craig Stouter on vocals and guitar and Donnie was there on bass and I'm trying to remember who was all there at that particular time. I think it was Greg White on guitar, but when we play these gigs, you know, you just have the microphone down there and you make sure that's not in the way of you're trying to get to what you need to get to. Cause that again becomes a distraction if you're trying to work around a fucking mic stand or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's easy, but it's hard at the same time. I mean, you got, as Donnie used to say, there was no way he could get four appendages to do four different things at the same time. So you got to have mad respect for any drummer for what they're doing there. But
absolutely.
But I found it harder in certain songs to play guitar and sing at the same time, because you're keeping a specific rhythm on your hand while your vocals are in a different melody than what your hand's doing. So I have mad respect for several of our local guys that I know that they're amazing at it. And Zach, Zach from Driven was one of the best that I'd seen do it. So shout out to him. That's why they were as popular as they were, because he was a great vocalist, a great guitar player, and he handled all the guitar work plus the vocal work. So anyway, we get back to how great Phil Collins is.
Phil Collins, I mean, you can't say enough good about him. I mean, he's, you know, I could start talking about songs later on that I really love, you know, but
yeah.
But we're in the 80s, so we're trying to keep it there.
We're in the 80s. Well, a lot of his stuff fell into the 80s, so, yeah. I mean, we may go back and just talk a whole Phil Collins day or whatever. But we wanted to focus on the No Jacket Required album and kind of go over it. Like I said, we don't hate it. It's not our favorite album of all time.
No.
But, man, it's got some great songs on it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got some okay songs. I didn't find anything that I just absolutely cringed over.
Everything was good. There's not anything bad on the album. It's just not for me.
Right.
I mean, you know, when we go back to like the album, like Sports, I mean, I just loved every song on that album, you know?
Right.
You know, and it's just one of the things. It doesn't make it a better or worse album than another, right. You know?
Well, it's good for us to come into something like this where we have a mad respect for Phil Collins and, you know, what he's done over his career, and listen to this album. And I mean, in all honesty, is, you know, kind of the, you know, listening to it almost new again, because I haven't listened to it in a long time.
It's been a long time.
And to come at it with a different set of, a different mindset, and just, you know, not be like praising it like we did with the Sports album, because, you know, we love the Sports album, mm-hmm. and even going back and listening to it again, love the Sports album from front mm-hmm. to, from, you know, beginning to end.
Yeah.
Coming back with this one, you're going to get us, you know, talking a little bit more about what we liked and what we didn't like. So it's a little bit different than just standing up on the top of these stools and yelling, "We love this shit."
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's just my take on it.
I mean, I absolutely will stand up and yell for some of these songs, absolutely. Yeah. But as a whole, the album as a whole, not so much.
Right, right, right.
But that's just my opinion. Please go listen to it. Make your own.
Oh, please. Yeah, go check it out. No Jacket Required, Phil Collins, released February 18th, 1985. Your wife would have been what? Don't answer that. I have
but she was born in 72, so do the math.
She would have been 11?
11,
12?
Something like
shit,
that.
Shit, don't fucking make me do math.
I made myself do math.
What the hell is wrong with me?
It hurts. It hurts.
Yeah. All right, Frankie, let's wrap this up, bud. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the Golden Image Podcast. This is not Golden Image Podcast. Thank you so much for listening to Golden 80s.
Oh, wait. Before you wrap up, I just want to say one thing.
Okay.
To the call guys.
Uh-oh. Oh, shit.
We were talking, you know, this last past episode, was it 104? They were rehashing some of the stuff they talked about throughout their year, and they wanted to bring up my casting of a remake of They Live. Yes, I did say The Rock, and I said Jason Statham.
Yes, he did.
But I changed Jason Statham. Do you remember who I changed it to?
But did you go Chris Tucker?
No.
I don't remember.
Think about it. Big, tall, white guy. We're going streaking.
Oh, Will Ferrell.
Now, I want you all to think about Will Ferrell in that fight scene. Trying to get those glasses on him. That would be freaking hilarious.
So you're going to put Will Ferrell as Naughty in that? Is that what you're saying?
Not Nada.
Nada.
Not Roddy Piper, but the...
Oh, so you got The Rock trying to put glasses onto Will Ferrell.
Onto Will Ferrell.
Oh.
Yes.
And...
Now imagine that fight scene. With Will Ferrell.
All I can think about him is running around in his underwear in Talladega Nights going, "I'm on fire." He'd just running around the rock, stripping clothes off him, trying to put these sunglasses on him.
No! No!
Oh, that hurts. That hurts my soul.
I just had to bring that up.
That hurts my soul.
Although they didn't invite me on that show, but we'll just start calling that the podcast that shall not be named.
Oh, no. Dang.
No, I kid. I kid.
You don't have to say you kid. It's okay.
No. But they probably wouldn't have ever said my name if it wasn't for Jake, so thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jake's a really good guest and a good guy. So.
Yeah, and he said my name. He brought my name up, and then it got them making fun of me. So, anyway.
I don't think Golden Jay ever made fun of you in that podcast, did he?
Yes, you did.
God damn it.
Yeah,
sorry,
you said,
man.
I had a love thing for
Colton. Oh, you do. You have a man crush for Colton and Logan.
I've never called you at 2 in the morning about Colton. Maybe Logan. It very well could happen with Logan, but never with Colton.
Oh, man, I was on a roll with that story, wasn't I? Yeah, holy shit. Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, go back and listen to it. I highly recommend it.
It's long, but it's worth it. It goes by really quick.
Yeah. Oh, it does.
Absolutely. So, yeah, The Call Guys, episode 104. Yeah.
But I'm sorry. I just want to bring that up. You go ahead. You do your thing.
All right. We're going to get on out of here. Thank you for listening to Golden 80s. We really appreciate it. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. TheGoldenImage80s@gmail.com. Also, go check out, and Frankie got himself a Golden 80s t-shirt. It's pretty badass. There you go. You can go check it out, GoldenMojoENT.com. The web store is on there. You can check out all the things that we got going on with all the podcasts there. And all of our merch stores. So go check out the Golden 80s merch store on there.
Well, and you can get it in different colors.
You can. You got it.
This
like
is
teal,
like one of my
like
favorite colors. Yeah. One of my favorite colors.
So I picked
that's
a good color then, is what
you're
saying.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. I thought it was a nice 80s color, kind of bright. And,
yeah.
And yeah. So it's, the thing is sometimes when you're picking different colors, because they give you a bunch to choose from, you don't always know what your logo is going to look like on the shirt because it doesn't give it to you right there. So you got to go back and after you put it in there and you're like, oh, God, that is horrible with that design. That color is terrible because you can't see part of it or anything like that. So
yeah, I mean, I know we don't have the YouTube thing going out, but if we ever get up there, you know, you can see the shirt and you can see.
It's true. It's true. Golden Jay has not got the YouTube thing run. I think our first episode is
our
on
first
there.
Episode's on there, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible episode. I ain't even going to lie to you.
One of these days I will get all the stuff put together and it'll be a backlash of all these Golden 80s episodes on YouTube coming out of nowhere. But go check out the GoldenMojoENT.com and go check out the other podcasts in the Golden Mojo Empire, which include The Call Guys, Golden Image Podcast, The United States Paranormal, Indiana Chiefs Fans, A Court of Books of Booze, and Murder Nerds. There you go, Frankie.
All right. Do it.
So until next week. Hasta la vista, baby.
See ya.
Yeah.